coming up with something new. So let's begin. Ve'ele ha'mishpotim ashetosim lifneihem. These are the laws that you should put before them. This is how this week's Seder begins. Ho'inin shleinemah kan v'yidab Hashem el Moshe. The reason that this Seder doesn't begin, as other Seders usually do, with the phrase God spoke to Moshe, k'moy b'kol atzivuyim, as we find almost all the mitzvahs, all the commandments in the Torah are prefaced with the phrase God spoke to Moshe saying, or God spoke to Moshe saying, this is what you should say to the Jewish people. And here, all it says is ve'ele ha'mishpotim, these are the laws, asher tosim lifneihem, that you should put in front of them. Ha'inyan shel ne'emar kan, so the reason that it does it this way and not first introduce Moshe, ach la'asher inyan bozeh medaber b'mishpotim. Here we're talking about mishpat. Mishpat is different from the Torah in the sense of the 613 mitzvahs, of which so many are commandments and so many are prohibitions, and you know there's an organic toiv, goodness, chesed, about the way the Torah is set out. It is sweet, right? But what we're hearing here, and the things that we're going to be dealing with in this Sedra, in the Ishbitz, is not sweet. Right? It deals with that part of ourselves which isn't sweet. Right? And that's why the Torah begins this week saying, Ve'ele ha'mishpotim. And these are the judgments. These are the sentences. You know, when in modern Hebrew, a sentence is a mishpat. And a judge passes a sentence. Right? So, the word sentence, right, in modern language, it means like you string some words together that have a meaning that's called a sentence. But when the judge passes sentence on somebody, it's the same word, mishpat. And it means something that is very strict. It is governed by very strict laws, and it is governed by very strict boundaries. When we're talking about mishpat, a sentence being passed, there's no difference between great and small. When the king comes to the parade, you know, to walk up and down among the soldiers, right, on parade, and there's like an inspection, and the king or the commander-in-chief comes to inspect his troops, as hakel oimdim shover b'hashura v'af harosh oimed b'toich hashura, then yes, you have those privates, you have those very low level on the hierarchy of soldiers are standing there, and in front of them, you know, you have the corporal and the lieutenant, and then, you know, and so on and so on. But then you have the colonel and the major and the general, right, and the field marshal, and when the commander-in-chief is doing his inspection, they all have to stand there like common soldiers, right? And it doesn't matter how high their rank is when the inspection is being done. And an inspection is a metaphor for the mishpat, for the judgment, for the judge that is coming to say, I want to see what's going on. I want to see what your standards are. And when the commander-in-chief comes to look, then everybody is at the level of the common soldier, and so everybody is being judged. In Iksiv. So now the Ishbitzer says, if we're discussing mishpat, judgment, there's an implication in judgment in the word justice, that there it's fair, right? I mean, justice that isn't fair isn't really justice, right? If God is the judge, if God is the shofet, if what is happening in this world is mishpat, then something happens to us inside that we cry, right? We say, we look for the justice, we look for the fairness. We can't see it because we're human beings. I mean, that is part of the problem of being a human being in the world, right? So, here, in this Sedra, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim. These are the sentences. These are the executions of justice. And this is what we're dealing with. Nu, where is the justice? So the Ishbitzer says, there's a verse in Yeshaya, in the beginning of chapter 56, in Isaiah, it says, Shimru mishpot va'asu tzedoko. Guard justice and do charity. Ki kroivo yeshuasi lovoi, because my salvation is close to coming. Shimru mishpot. What does it mean, shimru mishpot, to guard justice or to guard the sentence? You know, the word shimru we have most commonly in shomer Shabbos. Right? Shomer Shabbos. Somebody who guards Shabbos. But you know, if we talk about Shabbos, we have Zohar v'Shomer, right? In the first set of Ten Commandments, it says, remember Shabbos. In the second, it says, guard Shabbos. Zohar v'Shomer. So we have a whole medrash that says, Zohar v'Shomer b'dibba echot nemru, that these two words are said as one word, and that Shabbos requires Zechira, it requires remembering, it requires Shmira, it requires guarding. You know, besides all the simple explanations, in Kabbalah, Zohar means male, masculine, and it also is associated with memory. The right side of the Tree of Life, which is Chochmah and Chesed and Netzach, this is to do with the past. The right side of the tree deals with the past. The middle of the tree deals with now. The left side of the tree deals with the future. The past is masculine, because the past is what impregnates the now and the future, right? Everything associated with memory is called zechira, is called remembering, which is the same word as zachor, meaning male. Shmira doesn't really mean guarding, and this is something the Ishbitz is going to say. It's Shmira in the true sense of when you guard something, an idea, it means that you keep it in your heart for the future. Right? It says that Yosef HaTzadik had his dreams, and his brothers were scoffing and laughing at him for his dreams. And it says, Va'oviv Shomar Es Hadover, and his father guarded the thing. Meaning, he was looking to the future, as Rashi says, to see when are these things going to come true. So, the Shabbos of the past is a masculine Shabbos. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are masculine days because Shabbos is in the past. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are before Shabbos. Shabbos is in the future. They are gevuras. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are Chesed. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are Gevuras. Shabbos is in the future. When are you going to be Shomer Shabbos? When you start to think about Shabbos in the future. When you're still enjoying Shabbos from the past, it's Zohar. When you start to think about Shabbos coming, then you're in Shomer Shabbos. Then you become a Shomer Shabbos because you're starting to guard Shabbos in the sense of anticipating it. Having said this, come back to the Ishbitz. The Ishbitz says, Yeshaya the prophet tells us, Shimru Mishpat. Now if I understand Shimru as being something that you look forward to, Shimru hu loshen hamtona, waiting. When you guard something, it means that you hold it as an idea and you wait for it to happen. We have to be really careful not to complain at God and say, where is Mishpat? Where is the justice? Where is the rightness and the fairness? You know, we're not allowed to be Misraim. We're not allowed to. The word Misraim comes from the word Ram, meaning thunder, right? And the Ishbitzer used the word Misraim many, many times, because really the complaint, we think of it as a quiet voice inside us, but it's not. It's a thunderous voice. We don't always appreciate how much vibration is caused by the complaint that we have inside, especially if it's a resentment. If something has happened to us and we really don't feel that it was just or right or fair, and, you know, we have what we think is a complaint, but really what we're doing inside is thundering, and we're causing a lot of things inside us to shake. Lo Yisraim, a person should not thunder at God. Madu lo yazo Eloi, why don't you help me? Shiyuch la'avdeu b'shleimus, God, you know, I wanna worship you. Why don't you help me? Right? I mean, of all the complaints that a person could have, it seems that's the most just, right? I get up in the morning, I want to say, thank you, God, I want to pray, I want to worship. And something happens, the phone goes, right? By the time I get around to it, it's like, it's gone. Like, why, God, all those things that happened to me this morning before I get around to worshiping you, you're in charge of the world, right? It could have happened differently. I could have jumped out of bed and run to shul and been there in a hot davening within 3 minutes of getting up, and all my whole day would be different. And how come you didn't help me, right? Since that's my whole longing, why don't you help me immediately? You know, how come we go our whole life, we look back and we say, you know, of all the opportunities that I had for spiritual growth, you know, and here I am stuck in this place when I think of the enlightenment that was available to me when I was young. And like, here I am. How did I come here? Why didn't you help me to like climb the ladder? So this is what the prophet Isaiah means when he says, guard justice, va'asu tzedoko, and do charity. Haynu shiyidbak b'Hashem Yisbaruch b'tzedoko, o b'yishrus lev v'lo yisramu. A person has to give tzedoko in this respect. When we continue without complaining, when we don't keep on looking back, we don't keep on saying, well, you know, since you didn't help me this morning, I'm not going to try now. Right? If a person goes through life without trying that, right? If all the time I'm giving tzedakah, meaning I'm being charitable, I'm not asking for anything, right? I'm not saying, you got to help me, you got to do this for me, you got to work with me. I have a whole list. Right? I have a whole list of things that I need God to do for me, right? Even spiritually, right? I'm not just talking about the material things, right? Either you're going to do this for me, you know, it's like a multiple choice that I give for God. Either you're going to help me do this, or, you know, asu tzedoka, shimru mishpat v'asu tzedoka. Guard the mishpat, meaning wait, hold on, be patient. Believe in your heart it's going to happen, and don't try and push it. V'asu tzedoka, and be charitable. V'oz, and then the prophet promises, Kroivo Yeshuasi Lovoi, my salvation is close. Haynu shiyigalelonu Hashem Yisboruch es haseder. Then God will reveal to us the order. Shehoi misnai gimonu bigolas. God has led us through the 2,000 years of exile in a very complex but orderly way. We don't see the order. It's hard for us to see the evolution. It seems to us when we look back, you know, that we have come down from who we were. But part of being a Jew, part of being a believer, is that we can't really say that, you know. Komad oved rachmona letava oved. Everything that the Merciful One has done has been for good. If that's the case, then we haven't been going down for 2,000 years. We haven't been going down for 2,000 minutes, right? We've been going up. Nu, where's the upness? If we've been going up for 2,000 years, how come I can't see out the clouds yet, you know? I should be on top of the world. Ki krovi Yeshua silo voy, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, trust. Because then you will see, I will show you how I was leading you in the exile, v'yishlach nichumim, and God will send comfort. V'nira shaloi ne'avad me'itoy shem dova hakivoy v'hatzah, and God will show us how all those moments of longing and all those desires that we expressed within ourselves to be in a worship, to be in a relationship with God, shesavlu Yisroel ba'avedos Yisbarach, and all the suffering that we went through in the worship of God. God is going to show us that nothing, none of that was wasted, just because, you know, comes the end of the day, a person does a cheshbon ha'nefesh, he does like a soul searching, right? Okay. Who am I compared to who I woke up as this morning? I woke up this morning with a worshipful feeling. I'm going to bed, I'm full of the frustrations, the anxieties, and the whatever it is that has happened to me today, I'm not in that worshipful mood. Now, I don't feel like it. Does that mean that those worshipful feelings were pretty valueless? Because they didn't lead to anything, right? The Ishbitzer says God is going to show us that those feelings that we had, that we have forgotten already because we can't get in touch with feeling like that anymore, that Rabbeinu Shel Olam hangs on to that and keeps it for us. And that all becomes a part of the bigger picture that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam reveals to us when he shows us the order in which we evolved through the exile. Kedisa b'Zohar Kodesh, as we learn in the Holy Zohar, afile ru'usa tavad debar nashle mis'abed, even just a simple good desire. You know, you drive along the street, you see somebody, nebuch, in the big cities you see people, you know, homeless people, this and that, and you're driving, you see somebody, sometimes you want to do somebody a favor, and it's just, it doesn't work out. So the Zohar Kodesh says, that feeling that you had, that it was here, it was gone, you looked at somebody ba'ayin toiv, with a good eye, you looked at somebody with compassion, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam doesn't lose anything, even if you feel that it's lost. V'komasa she'odam oiseh, and everything a person does, af she'nira ato kemasa ketanu, and even if it looks like a small thing now, it looked like a thing that you did, a good thing, and it was washed away, right? Yispashta Hashem Yisborach la'oid la'osid ma'oid. In the future, God is going to make that little thing that you did, you know, just keep on going, and keep on growing, and keep on, you know, being the cause of other good things. V'hinei b'zois ha'sedr melamei do'sona Hashem Yisborach. In this week's Sedra, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam teaches us, Eich tzorich ha'odam lenakois ulevarer es atzmoy, how a person has to purify, clean himself. Ad shemidas tuvoy yimoshech v'yispashet af ha'kol kinyonov. Because if we really clean ourselves of destruction, if we clean ourselves of negativity and hatred and pettiness and meanness and selfishness and all those things that really, you know, hold us back from being who we are, then it doesn't just happen to us. Yispashit afal kol kinyonav, then everything we own becomes part of that evolution and part of that consciousness. V'yanimtze gam behem midas toivos, and then even those things that we belong also have in them a certain idelkeit, a certain gentility, and a spirit of benign goodness. Shelo yaziku l'shem adam, and then the things that we own don't hurt other people. V'al kein k'shekinyono shel adam mazik l'shem adam, and that's why in this week's Sedra we learn about the various ways a person can hurt somebody, right? Ki yichre ish boir, if a person digs a hole in the street. If I dig a hole in a public place, the public place doesn't belong to me, the hole belongs to me. Right? And if anybody falls into the hole, I'm responsible. If I have a cow, an ox, a dog, or whatever it is, and that animal goes and hurts somebody, I'm responsible. Why is that? Why do I have to pay? Ki anezek nitzmach b'yan ki ein nafshe mezukach kol kach. Because the ability of my things to hurt and damage other people is because they're my things. And if my soul is not pure and I am not cleansed of the desire to damage people and things, then those things that I own also are not clean of that propensity. And so my belongings can hurt or steal or somehow damage somebody else. Because if a person's heart is pure, then the things he owns, his possessions, they can't hurt his friend either. As we learn in the Gemara, that there was a goat, Reb Chanina ben Doisa's goat went out, and they saw it had come back and it had killed something. And they said, Reb Chanina ben Doisa, how could your animal go out there and hurt something with its horns? And then he saw the Isadubba, that in fact it was a bear. It was a bear cub, that the goat had killed a bear, that the bear had come into the goats to feed, and the goat had killed a bear. V'zed Yisra b'mesechta brochus, and we learn in Mesechta brochus, Avodim u'shfuches ein koidin oisin abba ployni, that slaves and maidservants didn't have honorific names, right? You know, it wasn't Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones. They would just be called by their first names, except Shobes Rem Gamliel. The slaves that belonged to the house of Rem Gamliel, they used to be called by the name Abba something or Mara something, and they were given Mr. names or even surnames, you know. Sir Tuvi, even though there was a person who was a slave and didn't really own anything, even himself, right? And yet, out of respect for Rabban Gamliel, his slaves were given, were referred to with honorific names. And the Eshbitzer says it's not just about respect, right? Shemikoyach kedushas Rabban Gamliel nispashet gam al kinyonov, v'hoyu gam kein toivim. It's that his Rabban Gamliel's slaves were a part, an expression of Rabban Gamliel himself. And Rabban Gamliel was so holy, his slaves were so holy. And that the reason that they were referred to, that the Jewish people used to treat them differently, was because they were different. Why were they different? Because they belonged to Rabban Gamliel. And everything that belonged to Rabban Gamliel was holy because of him. So now the Ishbitzer says, Hamerchek, the second Torah, Hamerchek mipashas Yisrael depashas mishpotim. If you look at the distance where we've come from, last week we were at Sinai, and this week, you know, where are we? Humeigre Roma lebira amikta. What can you say? It's like we went from the peak and the spire, from the highest roof down to the lowest cellar. Shebeparshas Yisrael. In the parsha of Yisrael last week, Siv Kabbalas HaTorah U'Krevus HaDikim, we had the revelation at Sinai and how close we were and how we looked up to heaven and we saw God, and at his feet was like, you know, Livnas HaSapir, and we heard the voice of God. There was a clear revelation. Every human being was there. It was a moment of divine intimacy. Ha'parsha Zois, and here we are, this week's Sedra begins, Ki sikne eved ivri, you buy a Hebrew slave. Sheholach, how did somebody become a Hebrew slave, right? Everybody has something, right? Everybody owns something. If he's a Jewish slave, it means he comes from Jewish parents. It means that, you know, they came into the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, and were given a piece of land. How does somebody come to not own anything, right? So this person didn't even own a burial spot, right? This is a person who is like completely destitute. Because why? He stole something, right? And he couldn't pay back. So we sell his assets. If there's still not enough money to pay back what he sold, then the Beis Din finds somebody to employ him for 6 years as a slave, right? So, v'nimka b'gnei vosoi. he's been sold for the theft, and he's been sold by Beis Din. So if that's what's happening here, Lama lo ksiv chetzo, so why doesn't the Torah begin this week's parasha by saying, you know, if a man went out and stole, and then he doesn't have enough money to pay back the theft, and, you know, the person from whom he stole is entitled to his money, so what does Beis Din do? They find somebody to employ this man as a slave for 6 years, and then the new slave owner pays the money in advance to the man from whom the slave stole, so the person gets, you know, he gets his payment, he gets back whatever was stolen from him, or the monetary equivalent, and the slave now has to work for this new owner now for 6 years. Why don't we have all this story? What happened? How he stole something, and how he was caught, and how he was tried? We just get the beginning of the Seder, Ki Tikne Eved Ivri. The word Ki Tikne means to buy, but of course the word Tikun also means to fix, right? But how come we get the Tikun, but we don't actually get the story of his geneva, of his stealing? Here, in this week's Sedra, with this story, with this Mishpat, this is where the Olam HaTikun begins. The world of fixing begins right here. Sheroimez Albias Odom Arishin Lo'olam. Because what it is hinting, it's a metaphor. Kisikne Eved Ivri. When you buy a Hebrew slave, it's a metaphor. And as a metaphor, it applies just as much to you and to me as it did thousands of years ago to Beis Din and Hebrew slaves. Right? So what's the first metaphor? Bias Odom Arishon Lo'olam Hazeh. Odom, Adam and Eve, coming to this world to fix their sin. That's what's really happening, right? Adam and Eve are kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So what happened, the story, the drama, that happens in the Garden of Eden, right? That's not real life. That's not, the Garden of Eden isn't the world, right? The world is where Adam Arishain comes out here and has to start, you know, chasing animals with a sharp stick, right? Where he has to start digging in the ground and slashing and burning to grow a little bit of wheat to make some bread, right? That's the story, right? So really, the geneva, the stealing the fruit from the tree of knowledge, that happened in the other world, in the previous world. We're not really interested in what happened. I mean, it's a very nice story, but right now, we've got to deal with Olam HaTikun, and this is how it begins. Ki Sikne Eved Ivri, when you acquire a Hebrew slave, and every person has a soul, which is a Hebrew slave that has been sold into another world. We learn in the Zohar, Odom Kadmo'o, original man, he didn't have anything of this world, because he wasn't in this world, right? He didn't need a body. So the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it's about another place. It's about another body. It's about, well, it's about a place where animals can talk, right? He didn't have anything of this world. Kiven dechoto, because as soon as Adam and Chava sin, is chashech, he goes dark. In other words, really, he was a creature of light. Vizeir garmei, and becomes very small. Vitztarech leguf achra, and now he needs another sort of body. Vahainu, what does that mean? He needs another body. Shibaboye la'olam hazeh, belavush hazeh, hoy lesakin chetoy. Adam, in order to fix what he has done by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, now requires a body. The kind of body that you and I have, right? Because we can only do the tikkun if we come down to this world. Because by eating from the tree of knowledge, we have somehow lost access to the light, and the only way that we can do the tikkun is by going out there and working to find the bits of light that we have cast here and there. It's not a punishment that Adam and Chava are sent down to this world, but this is what they're going to have to do to fix what they've done. V'chein b'tikunei ha-zoya, in the tikunei zoya we learn, Adam debor le'ilasu ilois, the man who was created by the prime cause, by the cause of all causes, by God, b'diukne delei, was in the shape of God. Sosim v'gonis, high gorim, that body is hidden and gone. Distalik ilas ilas, because the cause of causes hid himself. So in a sense, without going into the whole Kabbalah of Adam and Chava before the sin, but really it's like God withdrew to the higher world. You know, even if you don't want to see like, you know, Adam and Chava as being creatures of another world who've come down to this world, that the Garden of Eden is in another place, and, you know, that they were other types of creatures and then they come down. So see it the other way, you know, see that God withdrew to an upper world. And each time a person does a mistake, right, it's not that the person becomes less and less, but that God withdraws a little higher and further away. Adam tinyono to'av b'machshova. So, the second level of Adam, he sins in his mind. Adam tliso'o to'o b'masa. The third level of Adam actually commits a sin in a deed. Right? That Adam and Chava, that we, when we come to this world, we come as a series of actions, as a result of who we are. And, you know, doesn't take very much to look at who we are and see ourselves as a product of who we were. Right? And our whole life story, you know, if you look inside yourself, we're a little bit like an onion, right? I mean, the six-year-old you is still there, he didn't die. Still there inside, with all the confusion and wonder of the world, right? And inside the six-year-old, there's still a one-year-old baby. Didn't go away, right? Part of us inside still has that understanding of the one-year-old. You know, inside us, you know, there are different layers. V'lechein maschelis ha-parsha me'olam ha-tikun. And that is why this parsha begins with the world of tikkun, ki tikne eved ivri, me'ez shebo odam arishon la'olam hazeh. At this point, we can't really spend our time thinking about what led up and what happened and what was the story. We have to deal with now, being in this world, and what are we going to do about it? Shezeh nikra v'nimka b'gnei vosai, because this is the meaning of the phrase, and he was sold for his theft. And this is the meaning of the phrase when you buy a Hebrew slave, which is when you buy the Adam HaRishon, when you buy Adam and Chava who are inside you. And how are you going to fix and find the light? So the Ishbitzer began the Seder by saying, we have to be so careful to be pure in our heart, because if we're not pure in our heart, then even our possessions become dangerous. Right? And it doesn't just mean in a physical way. Right? But if I'm not pure in my heart, and in my heart I still have the ability to be selfish and self-centered and to hurt somebody else, then those things that I have, the chokhmah that I have, the wisdom that I have, all those things will become able to hurt someone. Kinyonov, when we talk about a person's possession, we don't just mean the dog and the cow. We don't just mean the hole that he dug in the road, right? But if somebody has Torah, but in his heart he has resentments and rage, right? Then his Torah can hurt somebody. Now the Ishbitzer says, now let's look at what happens if a person not only doesn't purify his heart, but what happens if a person does the opposite? So the Torah tells us, Ki yozid ish al re'ehu lahor goy ba'arma, if a person lies in wait for his friend to kill him with trickery, may im mizbechi tikuchenu lomus, take him from my altar to die. There's no sanctuary. A person cannot run into the temple and grab hold of the mizbeach of the altar and say, no, I demand sanctuary. Somebody who kills somebody on purpose, a murderer, has no right to sanctuary. Inyan shenichtiv kan loshen zeh mei mizbechi, but the Ishbitz says, we don't find such a thing anywhere else. Then the Torah should say, where you drag him out of, and let him have no place to run. We don't find that, you know, like with Shabbos or Yom Kippur or whatever it is, where the Torah has such strict rules about and let them be put to death, and we don't find anywhere such a thing. And don't let them hide. And if they try and hide, go after them and drag them out from the Holy of... No such thing anywhere. Only here, this is the only place in the Torah where the Torah says, may im mizbechi tikuchenu lomus, take him away from my altar to die. So the Ishbitz says, Ki yesh kamo mine zedoynes v'kaz. There are many sinful things and rage. Yeshu nichas l'sho. There are people who get angry and they become enraged. You know, anger tells us that something is wrong, right? Rage tells us there's something wrong with us, right? I mean, when we become enraged, it means when we lose control, we become violent. Oy. Everybody knows what it means to wake up and discover I was in a rage. And even if a person wakes up and say, what did I do in my rage? What have I done? Look how destructive I was. You can still find something good to say about somebody who did such a thing. You could say that a person was overcome. You know, even today in France, and there's a law of a crime of passion, right? Even if it's a murder, right? We take into account that a person can become impassioned and do things in a passion that he wouldn't do sober. Onsoy behis gabrus l'shatu, that for a time, a person can become enraged and he can become overcome with the will to act out his rage. And we can even find something mitigating a circumstance. We can find a defense for such a person. And it doesn't matter like what it is, but you know, it's not just rage. Rage is a metaphor for all the bad, you know, characteristics that we have. But when a person lies in wait to kill his friend ba'armo, which we usually translate with trickery, but the Ishbitzah says, a person starts to pile up his rage, like collects nuggets of rage, right? He gathers bits of rage and puts the rage and the murderous feelings in a place inside himself. Sha'armo, the word trickery, is also lushan aremo, meaning a heap. Sha'oisekeri va'arema, a person makes a pile of rage. Mikasoi, and he makes like a little altar of bits of resentments in anger, va'oisef al-yad al-yadin, adds to it whenever he can, in a cold and premeditated way, saying to himself, revenge is best cold, right? Kidei sheyiskoinen b'liboy kas habe, in order to build up an explosive, murderous rage, kidei sheyuchel levatzea ma'asedon, to work himself up, to get over his better feelings, in order to be able to really, really hurt somebody. That's what the Torah says. Such a person has no place to find sanctuary. Because even if he's a tzaddik, even if he's a God worshipper, Loyoya Loizichu Yosef, all his merits won't help to cover him. Lelamid Zichusolov, to find a defense, to rationalize, make excuses, or mitigate. Ki kaz kazeh, because this kind of rage that walks away and acts coldly, einoy chelik b'Yisroel klal, this has no place in Israel. So what happened then? The Torah says, and if he didn't lie in wait, v'lekim ina leyodoy, and God made it happen. God brought it to hand. Like the Torah tells us, he's chopping a tree and the axe handle flew off the helf and killed somebody. Isa b'perish Rashi. Rashi says, v'lomo teitzi zois milfono. And if you ask, why should an accidental death happen? Why should it happen that somebody's chopping down a tree and the axe flies off the helve and kills somebody? So Rashi answered, Elo, echad horak shoigig ve'echad mezid. So what happened here was this. There were two people leading separate lives. One of them was a murderer, and he'd killed somebody, but he'd never got caught. The other was an accidental. He'd killed somebody accidentally and nobody knew. So what happens now is that they find themselves in confluence, right? And the guy who was the murderer gets killed by the guy who killed by accident. And what happens to the guy who killed by accident? In halacha, in Jewish law, if you kill somebody by accident, you have to go into exile. And there were special cities called Orei Miklot, cities of refuge, where those who had committed accidental manslaughter were allowed to run, and they had to stay there until the Kohen Gadol, until the high priest passed away. And if they were found outside the Orei Miklot, outside the city of refuge, then anybody could kill them in rage, like the family of the person that he had killed could, you know, if they found him walking on the street and one of them shot him, he has no right to walk around, right? He has to go and spend his life in the Orei Miklot, in the city of refuge. So what happened here is that you had a murderer and you had an accidental killer, and they came together and he killed him by accident. So now the murderer is dead and the accidental killer is now exposed for an accidental killer, and he has to go to the Orei Miklot. This is Rashi. So the Ishbitzer says, Kushas Oilem Yidua, everybody asks the question, Shoigig Rishon Echoya, how did the original accidental death come about? If you're saying that, you know, this is brought about as a retribution, that the guy kills the murderer now by accident, so the murderer is dead, and now, but wait a minute, you said he had killed somebody by accident? How had that happened? Venera Lefarish, with everything that we've said so far in Ishbitz, in this week's Sedra, that everything is a metaphor for how I lead my life. That if I lead my life with thoughts of larceny and murder and mayhem in my heart, then my things are going to hurt people. And if I walk around with a pure heart, then my possessions and my property and also my skills and my Torah, whatever it is, won't hurt anybody. So now the Ishbitz is going to apply this to what we're learning here. Ksiv, it's written, Soimech Hashem l'chol anoiflim, God supports all who fall, v'zoikev, and he straightens l'chol akfufim, all those who are bowed over. Shnei dvorim nemru b'posik hazeh, there are two things written here, noifel, koifif, fall and bend over. What's the difference? Obviously, falling is deeper, it's a further, It's a lower level than somebody who's bent, right? Because to fall means that you're not on your feet anymore. Whereas bent over means you're still standing, even if you're bowed down under the weight of something. Hainuki, mishenishrash beliboy kas, somebody in whose heart rage has found and taken root. Oichem doro, any kind of lust that is a destructive, forbidden, violent thing. Vim chas v'chalila moitzia lepoel b'masa ze nikra neifel. Somebody who can act out the evil in his heart is somebody who has fallen. That's the meaning of Soimich Hashem l'chal ha'neiflim. God supports the fallen. Fallen is somebody who's reached a level where they can act out the worst inside them. Vim adayin l'yotze lepoel. But if a person hasn't reached that stage of acting out, but could, possibly, given time, reach that stage, nikra koifif, that person is bound down, hain shiliboy koifif, because his heart is really burdened and overwhelmed, umeshubed, and enslaved tachas achemdo haroa, so he's under this evil. So the Torah tells us, in 2 Samuel, it says, "Kimois nomus, kamaim anigrim arzo ashlo yesofu." We're gonna die, right? Everybody's gonna die. It's gonna come to pass, and it, like water that's spilled and can't be picked up again, our life is gonna pass. V'lo yisur lehim nefesh, and God doesn't. V'lo yisur. There's different ways of translating. One could say favor, you know. Bias. God doesn't cheat. On the other hand, here there's a different meaning. V'lo yiso alikim nefesh v'choshev machshoves libilti yudach mimenu nidach. God doesn't let go of anybody. V'choshev machshoves. God is a thinker of thoughts. Libilti yudach mimenu nidach, that nothing is banished and rejected. So even the one who dies, even though we die, and even though our life is spilled like water that can't be put back together, there's still God, and nothing is lost. And you know, one of the thoughts that really can keep a person going is this pasuk. This verse in 2 Samuel 14:14, Lo yudach mimenu nidach. Nothing is rejected and banished from God. Right? I mean, I may feel that way, right? But knowing Lo yudach mimenu nidach, that in actual fact, nothing is lost, nothing is ever, ever gone, and that God has ways, what does it mean? Choshev machshavos, devious, right? That God, just because I'm looking straight and I don't see the light, right, doesn't mean that God doesn't see that. God has a way of thinking that lo machshavoisai machshavoiseichem, right, to devise. What does it mean, devious? To devise ways of fixing so that make sure that nothing is lost. Al kein, therefore, v'halikim ina leyodoi. So why the Torah says, and if a person wasn't lying in wait for his friend, but God made it happen, God brought it to hand, ino leyodoi, brought it to hand, shehorag b'shoigig, that he killed somebody by accident, ein apir shikvah horag. So now, if we look at Rashi, and Rashi says, what was going on here? You had a person who'd killed on purpose, and you had a person who hadn't killed on purpose, he'd only killed by accident, so now he accidentally again kills a second time and kills the murderer. The Ishbitzer says it doesn't mean that he'd actually killed somebody. He hadn't acted it out. But he had that propensity in his heart. Many of us are walking around with feelings we're not really aware of. The one who had, so to speak, killed on purpose already, means hoitzi lepoil. He had already acted out his rage. He was a fallen. For horag be'emes, he really had killed somebody. V'hakadosh baruch hu noisim b'kan l'shneim ha'hashlama. So God gives them both a fixing here. Zeh shehorag b'mezid ner, the murderer is killed. V'zeh shehorag b'shoigeg goylo, and the one who killed by accident goes into exile. V'zeh l'kim in yoda, and that's the meaning of God brought it to hand. Haynu ki dova zeh l'kodesh baruch hu l'zechusoi. This is something that God is doing for his benefit. He calls man shemach shevoisoi haro lo yotzis lepoil, because all so long as he didn't act out what was in his heart, it doesn't occur to him that he needs to deal with it. And we have so many things inside our heart that we don't look at and will never look at if we can avoid looking. But now that God has brought it about that I killed somebody by accident in real life, the fact that he deserved to die because he was a murderer is besides the point. But I ask myself, how could it have happened through me? A person starts to think and worry and starts to like make a noise inside himself. Why did this happen? Why did God bring this about to me? Laharig nefesh b'shoigig, to kill somebody by accident. Bevadai sheyesh li shoyde shalom retzicha b'libi, must be that God wants me to see and look that I have it inside me. Validezeo is a tshuva. And so then the person can fix. So let's just learn the last Torah at the bottom of the page, Alei Eli Hohoro. God says to Moshe, come up to me to the mountain. Hohoro, Hainu, what does it mean to the mountain? Why doesn't it just say, Alei Eli, come up to me from the desert or from the mountain? Why does it say, Alei Eli, Hohoro, to the mountain? So the mountain is a metaphor, l'soif chidush kol ha-madregas, to the top, 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 top. V'hinei mikoidim tzorech ho'odam la'aved b'chol chochmas ha'olam b'seder. A person has to worship God with the order of who he is. You know, we grow up, we learn from our parents, we go to school, we learn how to socialize, we learn how to be. And we go to school or college or wherever it is, we go to the school of life and we acquire skills, all that. We need all those lessons in order to learn how to worship God. But that's the beginning. It's true, we have to go through that order, but that's just the beginning. But then it says, V'hayesham, and be there. Sham, moira al-mokim hatar v'shoyrish hachai. A person has to get through. Because the truth is, we don't worship God with what we do. We don't worship God with what we know. We don't worship God with what we've done. We worship God with who we are. That's the meaning of V'heye Sham, and be there. Where? Where the source of your life is. Where you connect it. It can be very hard to get there. And some of us, everyone, has to use all the means at your disposal to keep on moving past where you are at the moment, keep on climbing past where you were yesterday, and keep on moving up, hohoro, to the top of the mountain, meaning to the top of the physical, to the top of you, right? And then, v'heyesham, you have to be there with me, says God. K'moy, as it says, umisham, and from there, be'era, to the well. From where? Shebekol ha'chochmes tia derech havora. It's not so much as from where, it's like the message, the Ishbitzi says, the message that God wants to us to learn from the, you know, each of us is Moses, right? Alei Eli Hohoro, it's a metaphor. God says, come up to me, to the mountain, right? God says, you're going to have to climb up the mountain, but Heye Sham, be there, meaning be in that place where you are as a way of passage. There's no place that we want to be that we want to stay. We want to be at every place as part of our journey, not as our destination. Part of the problem is we have such low expectations, right? We keep on thinking in terms of I want to get there because I want to be there. And the Ishbitzi says, that is not the spiritual way. That is not a spiritual path, right? Of trying to be there, but only I want to be where I have to be next because of where I have to be after that. Ve'ikimim koimcho, the place, what is your place? Besoif hamadreges shenikra sham. That special place which comes after all the levels, that place which is called there, which is, it's not the top of the mountain, it's beyond the top of the mountain. It's not the top of who you are, it's beyond, it's that there place. And it's not where we think we want to be. You know, I just, the thought that comes to mind is I heard, I don't know, maybe even somebody here who told me that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, once, he was asked by somebody, why are you against the Reform? Like, what have you got against Reform Judaism? And he said, it's spiritual horizons, like what it expects of us is so little, right? It doesn't expect enough, it doesn't demand enough, right? We're capable of so much more. Wherever we think, wherever we have a religious or a spiritual path that defines the goal, that's not it, says the Ishbitzer. You have to go up on the mountain, yeah, and then you have to be there. Hi.